What's up, what's happening? You're not tuned in to Real Thinkers Podcast. I'm your host, KP Trill. You can follow me on Twitter at KP_Trill, and you can follow the show page at Real Thinkers POD. We upload to SoundCloud and iTunes.
We ain't on YouTube yet.
iTunes YouTube. Every Sunday. I'm here with the best podcast co-host I can possibly ask for. Day, what's up?
What's up with it, man? Y'all can follow me on Twitter. It just called me Day.
Jay Gray.
What's going on, man? It's Jay Gray. You can follow me on Twitter at JGray2.
And we have a special guest in here, Mercedes.
Hello. How's everybody?
Make sure you speak to the mic, Mercedes. You know, okay. You all soft spoken.
I'm not. I'm just warming up a little bit.
It's all good. Just warming up. Donald Trump.
Right.
What was that, CNN he went on?
Yeah, it was his campaign. He on his campaign,
he's on campaign tour.
Yeah.
And he gets in front of a crowd. He looks dead in the camera and he says to black people, hey, y'all ain't got nothing to lose. You might as well vote for me. Y'all broke. Y'all really ain't got them good jobs. Y'all schools are horrible. You know, and I say education is horrible. Mm-hmm.
Y'all poor.
Y'all poor. So,
what you got to lose? What the hell you got to lose?
Honestly, we really don't got shit to lose.
Yeah, he really had
it. We ain't got shit to gain either.
Exactly. We ain't got shit to lose or gain. Like, voting for you don't help us. You know what I'm saying? To me, this whole election is like a big ass comedy sketch.
Yeah, it's like Saturday Night Live. It's literally like Saturday Night Live. And I think they really making it a mockery, mainly because they want to kind of downplay what Barack Obama did for the last 8 years. So they want to just like, look, this is how we know the presidency means nothing. Let me show y'all how it just means nothing. So all that great stuff Barack Obama did ain't got nothing to do with nothing, just so y'all know.
But then you, like, it's like, I'm going to show up. I might not even really vote, but I'm going to go, you know what I'm saying, just kind of like piss racist white people off. Just show them I got my voting right still. But I'm probably not even going to vote for nobody. I'm just going to
vote. I can't see a reason to, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, especially in Tennessee, it's a red state through and through. So really voting.
The electoral vote is over.
Saying the electoral college, the way it's set up, you know what I'm saying? It depends on what state you live in. It's like, it's only maybe like 10 states that where your vote could really matter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that shit, like, what the fuck is an electrical, what is that?
Electoral,
like, is that the people,
college?
MLGW, just people that, I don't know, then you say college.
Electoral college.
So when you was in college, your vote mattered?
No.
What does that mean?
Pretty much, man, what it is, how they got it set up now, is like every state, depending on like the population of the state, it holds like a certain amount of delegates or some to that degree, and like if you win the state you get all the votes. So say like Texas got like 50 something, so if you win Texas you get 50 points to your score, and it's like the race to 270, and you get however many states you get all them points per state, and you gotta get the 270.
Look, I really like all this shit, I don't know what none of this means.
So it's bullshit, really.
Okay, so basically electoral colleges, it's a group of people representing the state.
Okay.
That's basically all it is.
Okay.
So they don't count every individual vote. They count just the group of people who they vote for. Considering that Tennessee, like most southern states, our electoral college is Republican.
Yeah.
So the electoral college is basically going to represent us, regardless if we go out and vote or not. So
that's why it's just best to vote locally versus vote nationally.
Right, exactly. Okay. So when you vote locally, you're voting for these people that's going to vote for us.
Yeah. Right. All right. Now, I watched the Breakfast Club with Brother Polite, and he said some things that really made sense to me. Uh-huh. He said, black people, we don't fund anybody's campaign, so we can't expect for them to be our voice when we don't back them, you know.
But that's that. I mean, you can take that and put it into any position. Like, a lot of black people complain about schools, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Let's take Northside. That's finna close down, right? Last year, Northside had 185 students. Northside High School.
Okay.
Completely.
That's it.
Completely.
Damn. And then they got their big ass neighborhood.
Right, right, right.
So why are them kids going to school?
They ain't going.
Are you fucking serious?
185 students were enrolled at the end of the school year. Another thing, the last parent-teacher conference, 9th through 12th, 7 students showed up. 7 parents. 7.
Well, fuck it. They don't need me over there.
Right, right. It's 7. Like, what do you expect? Like, if you don't have, like, if you go, like, for example, my kid's school, people fight for PTA. Mm-hmm. Like, they literally, like, stand in lines for hours for PTA. Like, they want to be involved. They want to make sure. Like, the PTA interest meeting is, like, wall to wall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people are, like, invested into making sure what their kids are doing. That process doesn't exist in neighborhoods. And, like, that's what people don't understand. It's, like, we have – you cannot just talk. It's impossible. You cannot just come back and complain. You really have to push some type of income or some type of revenue into something for us to start realizing, like, all right, we got to take this importance. And that what's more important, what's a way to show that you are invested into something than to put money and back money into it?
And it's fucked up because the only thing I'm thinking is, well, damn, it's going to be more jobs down the road.
Yeah.
Because they ain't going to be qualified. Right. Nowhere if you ain't going to school.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know any places that, besides fast food, that don't require some type of
diploma. Like McDonald's, even McDonald's, like, you have to be, if you're under the age of 18, you have to show that you got good grades. 1, 2, now you got to have a diploma if you're over 18 to work there.
So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of open jobs.
And that's where a lot of financial literacy come into play with you knowing how money works and how money rules everything else in your community. Like, I know as black people, if we grew up in a certain area, and a lot of people still stick where they grew up, they want to buy a house. But if we go rent property somewhere in Collierville or rent a house or rent, we don't own property in our neighborhoods, that property tax is what funds our school.
Yeah. Right.
So if rental property is coming in, buying all of our property and renting it to us, keeping us in that neighborhood, and we not getting anything out of it, our schools are going to fail. We're right. Not going to have anything back in our schools, or we're not going to feel the need to. People that own their house, you can tell from house to house who own it and who's just renting it.
Yeah.
You invest more time and you invest more into your house, and it's the same thing with your school. If you're going to send your child to a public school and you own property, all you have to say so to go up to your school and say, this is what I want. This is the program that I need in my child's school.
Right.
Or this is the, that's why so many people that send their children to private school can go up to the secretary or whoever they need to go to and say, this is a program that I want in my child's school. This year when I register my child is 3. What financial literacy program do y'all have going on? It's not too early for him. I don't want him learning how to add a nickel and a dime. That's not financial literacy for him. My child understand that when you go in the store, You got to have money to buy this. How much do you think this costs? This the small things that we need to do to get the ball rolling with financial literacy in our houses first, and then it's gonna be a trickle down effect.
Wish I had a mama like you. My mama just told me money didn't grow on trees. That's the only thing she taught me about money.
Nah, man,
it's a cycle.
That was it.
You gotta. Because my mama didn't teach me good financial literacy. I learned it on my own.
Yep. I learned from trial and error. I learned from fucking on my credit. Yeah. I learned from seeing broke.
Like, my mom did a thing. Like, she gave us money, right? And, like, asked us to choose 3 things. And she only gave us, like, half of that money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, she's like, what you want? I want this, this, and this. It's like, okay. $20. We're like, all this shit costs $67. Like, yeah. What am I supposed to do? She's like, figure it out. And it's like, then you start to do what do I need? What do I want? What is more important? All right, let me go on and get these essentials. And it's like, you start to understand, like, this is how you do it. And so it's like, all right, now I put a little more to the side. She's like, you put this to the side for things that you need, things that you want. And if you have, you know, a little left over, you know, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So it's just little ways to do that with kids. And I try to teach that to my kids, is, you know, give them a dollar and be like, look, work it out. you know, what you want, you know, what is it that do, layer it.
My, look, like I said, only thing my mama taught me was money didn't grow on trees, and I came out to the real world, and it was, goddamn, I fell on my face a lot of times.
I think
living check to check.
And that, I just don't want that for my son. Like, I do not want to teach him survival skills. I want him to be able to, when he graduate, because he's already a high target. When I had my son, like, it changed everything for me. He's a high target, so I want him to be able to go out and talk to and network with anybody and know exactly what he's talking about, especially with money, because it rules everything.
Yeah.
I don't want him to be like, well, nobody ever taught me that. I don't care that nobody ever taught you that. I want you to be able to go out and do what you're supposed to do. And, like, I don't want him to think that college is the only way that he can make be successful.
Okay.
Because, yeah, like, we beat college into children that can't afford it. Yeah. And I just hate that we do that. Not that they can't afford it. They don't know ways that they can afford it.
Right.
We just automatically tell them, okay, fill out a FAFSA form, get this student loan, and then you'll pay.
But see, and it's the thing, like, that's why I love the school that I work with. We are a college preparatory school, but we prep students for every aspect of college. Like, for example, our seniors have they meet with our college counselor. They have a class, like, a full-fledged class that they take 3 times a week. Well, I mean, 5 times a week. The juniors take it 3 times a week. 5 times a week, they have to go to this class and pretty much just get knowledge on college, on every level of college. Salaries, loans, like, different types of loans, private loans versus government loans, like, how to fill out for applications for FAFSA, and because they drill that to us too. Don't call it FAFSA. But anyway, they just basically just drill every aspect of college, and which was a big thing. What you were saying would say is that they talk about affording college and making college affordable. But so they talk about all these different scholarships. You know, it's a left hand scholarship. There's a scholarship if you're under 5 feet. There's scholarships for, like, ambidextrous people. You know, it's scholarships all over type of scholarships, especially in Tennessee. Tennessee love giving money because we got this lottery thing going on. So the Hope Scholarship and a lot of different avenues for just to get free money. So we do a lot of different education aspects for our seniors this year, and it's our first graduating class, so they really want to push that envelope.
Yeah, what I was gonna say is, like, it's a lot of different factors that go into, like, why our kids don't know about finances and how money works and all this shit. And a lot of it is, like, what they see. They see, like, we live in such a consumer driven market to where, like, everything they see is, like, buy, 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 spend, spend, spend. Mm-hmm. Like, the more you have, you know what I'm saying, just go out, like, look at all the advertisements and shit they see on TV. Like, all this shit is trying to get you to give your money away. None of it, like, very rarely do they get, like, commercials that's telling them save your money or
and then,
put your
and
money
you don't even
more.
Understand, like, the infidelity, like, you know what I'm saying, those type of liberty and, like, those type of investment annuity and mutual, yeah, like, man, mass mutual, all those type of, those, like, investment-driven companies and agencies. Like, they don't even go into great detail about, you know, helping and educating
people. Yeah, it's that. And then it's, like, you know, we live in such a right now type of society,
microwave.
Too. Like, because a lot of this shit is, like, long-term money. It's, like, money that grows 10, 20, 30 years down the line. And we look at, like, what can we get now? Like,
right.
How can we turn this $20 into $2,000 in the next 30 minutes?
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, it ain't too many things that's going to get us that. You know what I'm saying? And I think we have to, like, retrain, like, really retrain our kids to understand that spending is cool, but saving is better. It's like, you can't spend if you're not saving. So you got to have some type of income. You got to have some type of money on standby. And you got to be able to, and, like, I go by a general rule of thumb to where I don't buy shit unless, like, I have enough money to buy it 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
That's correct.
So it's like, we have to, a lot of parents that's in these schools don't really know the information, so it's kind of like we got to get through to them so they can get through to their kids.
It's so hard, man.
And it's tough as hell. But it's like, we got to start somewhere, and we got to reach the ones we can reach, like, any ones that we can reach. And once they see that their kids are, like, making an improvement, you know what I'm saying? So
they'll be inspired by their kids. Because if my child came home and told me that, oh, he learned something that I wouldn't expect a 3-year-old to know about financial literacy, or like that he could save this and this, that, then the other, and another time. I'll be so inspired. Like, I need to get my life together. But if we started pushing it, and my thing, I don't want to get into the whole movement, but if we knew how financial literacy would help our community, like, the prison system is bedded off us not knowing how to manage our money. Like, it's so many institutions that would completely fail that is, you know, built to tear us down. Like, I started reading and getting into it, like, you know, because I was passionate about it because I worked at a financial institution. I'm like, okay, I worked in Orange Man. I'm knowing that this community is, like, you know, impoverished. It's not a lot of people over here that, you know, is making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Why are y'all giving them all these loans?
Yeah.
With these high interest rates that y'all know that they can't. Yeah,
the title loan places. Oh, man,
like Cash USA and Speedy Cash. $299 APR. That's 299%.
I mean, illegal rates. And people know that these rates that they give these people, like, loans for is illegal. And they still allow them to come into black communities. And you don't see cash advanced places in communities where people know that the rates are illegal.
Yeah.
But we do have that mindset where we need it right now.
It's only illegal if you don't give them that consent. That's why they send that long thing and saying, do you agree?
And yeah,
I agree. I disregard the fact that this is legal. That's basically what you say. Right. Like, it doesn't matter.
Now, to go into something that I read on money.com or time.money.com, whatever website it is, it was 49 ways to go broke. And I seen a couple of ways on there, right, that I think apply to black people. Number four was getting involved in a pyramid scheme. You see a lot of people mm-hmm. falling for the wake up nows and the you should be here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's some of the other ones?
Man, vector marketing.
Yeah.
Avon.
Yeah, if people don't know what a prepaid legal get rich quick schemes.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically all it is. Number six was gambling your money away. A lot of people go down to the casino when they get.
I got a problem with it. I used to have a problem with that. But see, my thing with that was I was working so much that the money was coming in. I was just like, fuck it, I don't have nothing else to spend on. Which I knew I should have left on. But yeah.
All right. Entrepreneur syndrome was number seven. Many financially successful people go broke trying to get richer. They start businesses they don't need or don't have the experience to run. Number eight.
Restaurants.
We're going to get there. Number eight, going to jail. Going to jail definitely leaves people broke. Home loans, car loans, child support, and other debts don't pay themselves, but you still owe. And that outstanding and mounting debt can cause a person to lose everything. Number 10, getting divorced. Divorce sometimes leave one or both exes broke, as they often have less income and higher expenses when living apart. Number 11, bad business partners. Number 14, having a cocaine habit. Number 16, failed restaurant dreams. 60% of new restaurants fail in the first year and 80% close by the fifth year. Those failures have a lot of people broke, and owning an empty restaurant building makes the failure greater and financial disaster. Number 21 was overspending on a reality show persona. I'd rather just say a persona, period. Trying to keep up with the Joneses. You will.
You see it a lot, man.
Yeah, you will fuck up your money like that. Number 23 was dreams of a music career. I think a lot of people look at what they see on TV and they see these rappers and they feel like, if he got money like that, I can do it too. And it's only a handful of these artists who really have money. I know a lot of people behind the scenes who work with a lot of notable artists, right, and the first thing that they tell me is, even like one of my favorite rappers, I found out he is living off a 360 deal, and a lot of the things that I see him with, he doesn't own. And I'm mm-hmm. like, God damn.
Right.
You know, so don't think that it's a lot of money in the music industry, because it's not. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't give out those $10 million record deals anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
I wanted to just say, man, you're going to put a lot of money in getting started.
Yeah.
Like, anybody getting started, you're going to have to put thousands of dollars into your career before you even see a dime. So you got to take that into account. Like, ain't nobody just like, she might put me in the studio, I'm gonna drop this high 16, shit gonna blow up, I'm gonna be rich. It ain't that easy.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
Right.
All right. Number 28 was blowing all your money on fun. I know a lot of people. That's the same thing as keeping up with the Joneses. You know, get a lot of people always want to go out of town, want to go to the club, pop bottles. I'm pretty sure Jay Gray is a bartender. His watch stood and watched people look at their bank accounts. Like, can I afford this drink? And then overdraft. on the drink.
I done seen people split bottles, man. Like, put 20 on this card, put 50 on this card, put. I'm like, man, it's just really. Yes. Y'all really want to buy this champagne that bad, man? Like, and just stand next to it.
Man,
put the little sparkle on it. Like,
that's so not what's up. All right, being financially tied to your car is number 29. A lot of people go broke because of their car. Somebody was told to have a story about one man who was driving a BMW with a $913 per month car payment, which he could barely afford. All right. Man. I heard the story. Now, where I live, my cousin is the maintenance man.
Yeah.
All right. Some people that live over here, he went into their apartment. It's six of them who live in a two-bedroom apartment. There is no furniture in the entire apartment. Mm-hmm. Out of six people.
Right.
Only thing that they got is blow-up beds.
Right.
But they are driving a Mercedes-Benz.
They. All six of them.
Man. See, I'm sure. And then if imagine the insurance on a car like
Yeah, man. And the maintenance too.
Like, the maintenance on a Mercedes is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't finding wiper blades for a Mercedes Benz less than $50.
Right.
Man. You know what I'm saying? So
that's the thing I wanted to get into. Are you done before we get into
it? You can go, but I got some more.
Oh, because I've been saying, like, please, please, please with these cars. Because I see so many people get tied up and, like, want a nice car, and it's cool to want a nice car and, like, you know, have a reliable car. But that shit can fuck you over so fast, like, faster than anything. Because it's nothing wrong with getting a used car. It's nothing wrong with learning about how to fix a car or having somebody, you know what I'm saying, in the neighborhood, like, somebody didn't know how to fix a car. But, like, please, please, please don't add another bill to what you already got.
That you can't pay.
That you can't pay. Because, like, these cars, like, you
and
spend.
And they wrap you in
in. And it's a nice car. You know what I'm saying? It's cool to have a nice car, but you got to take into account the rent, the gas, the maintenance on this shit. Lord forbid something happened to your car. The insurance on that motherfucker probably going to be higher depending on how new it is, I think. I'm not sure, like, how insurance work, but I know car insurance is a goddamn scam, because I'm paying money on my shit and I ain't never been in a wreck, and I'm thinking I should get my money back at the end of the year, but I don't get this shit. So it's pretty much like I'm just throwing money away. But
insurance is terrible regardless what you look at.
We'll get back to all that. Let me finish what I got. I only got a couple more. Number 30 was ignoring professional advice. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people do that. They just, like, they give up and just be like, fuck it. Number 32 was living on credit cards. Number 33 was becoming a real estate investor. Number 35, taking predatory loans. Number 36, overspending on pets. I know black people, we love our pit bulls. We love our German shepherds. We love our Rottweilers. But goddamn, some of y'all be having like 10 goddamn dogs. You know what I'm saying?
And all of them be dressed up and shit. Jordans on.
Number 43 was overwhelming medical bills. Number 45 was not having savings. It's a lot of people out here who don't even, they might have a checking account, may not even have a bank account, you know, let alone a savings. And if they got a savings, probably ain't nothing in it.
Right.
No.
You said medical bill, have a medical bill?
Yeah,
that shit kind of is a scam too, man, because I think everybody should be able to have affordable health care, but it's like, not have that goes into not having insurance, not having health insurance. Cause I heard stories of like people being sick and like doctors kind of giving them the runaround or not getting to them as fast as they would because they didn't have insurance.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, your insurance. You can have insurance. It depends on what kind of insurance you have and what kind of doctor you can go to. I've seen I've seen with my own eye, just because somebody has tent care, like, the doctor not paying any attention. That's why you kind of need to know insurance. You have to get more educated. Even if you have insurance, it's nothing wrong with more insurance. Like, I see people on the regular that do not have basic life insurance just to even cover them going in the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Most definitely.
You gotta get especially, life insurance.
Especially like, young people out here in the streets.
It's
cheaper.
Number 45, addicted to video games. A lot of people, a lot of people have to have every video game come out. Look, I just play 2K. That's it. I don't care about anything.
Give me 2K. Gears. I'm good.
All right. Number 46, sending money to your internet love interest. Number 47, going to graduate school twice.
I said he had a couple more.
Yeah, I'm almost done. That's the last one. Going to graduate school twice. People typically go to graduate school to further their careers with the hopes of increasing their income.
Graduate school.
But graduate school can also come with a hefty price tag. Mm-hmm. One, the grad is often left paying off for many years. Right? So those are a couple ways that you can go broke. You know, now I do have a question, right, about financial literacy. So let's say I'm in debt. If I become a scammer, would that help me get?
No, I don't even want to know. Like Nigerian? Yeah. No.
What do you mean? A scammer?
I'm saying, like if I become one of them people on Instagram where send me 500 and I could turn in 50,000.
No.
And then I have all the pictures of the cash and shit on my page with my cell phone number.
This in the description page, and that's it. I'm sure those people are.
Will be a Nigerian and be like, send me your bank information.
Miss Twerk something turned into a scammer.
No.
Called Obama is. What does she say? Obama.
I don't know.
Obama? Like, Obama?
Was she getting booked for twerk sessions?
No, bro. She is not no more. She's a scammer now, bro. Like, I thought she was hacked, but she kept posting booty videos. I was like, nah, this is her posting this shit. Obama is, what'd she say? Forgiving 23,000 student loans. Call this number now. It's real. It's like, okay. Folks finna call you. They social security number. You finna burn this shit up.
Yeah, no. The only way that you can overcome being broke is getting out of the broke mentality. Like, it's a whole mindset change. And then just become more educated. Even like people use insurance, and I always push insurance because like financial sales, life insurance. But people use insurance to pay off their, like, if they went to graduate school, they'll have a term life policy where they cash it out and pay their loans back, or send their children to school off insurance policies. Like when they get older, if they've had insurance policies that has like termed out where they pay off their mortgage so they can go. Like, it's a whole lot of ways that people use.
Hold on, tell me. I can cash out my life insurance to myself?
You can cash. If it's come to time, you pay into it, and it has, you know, accumulated cash value, you can get that cash value back to you, and you can use it for what you need. Like, say you get
ill.
Yeah, but
it'll run a penalty depending on when you get it. But yeah.
But say if I get a life insurance policy when I'm 26, and then I've been paying into it until I'm like 60-something, and I still have a little bit left on my mortgage, and my life insurance is about to term out, I can get me another. It'll be higher to give me another life insurance policy, but I can use some of that money to pay off my mortgage.
What's the most people that took out on their life insurance?
It depends on how much you got, how much life insurance you have. But your life insurance, you literally supposed to pay like all of your
Let's say I got like $150,000 life insurance.
How long you've had it?
And I done had it for like 30 years. It's just
30 years?
Yeah, 30 years.
You looking at, you got $150,000? Yeah. You at least looking at about $15,000,
$16,000. You can get a percentage of your policy.
How much would I be then put into that? Would it be more than that?
It'd be more than that. But like I said,
like
you
my
can
dividends on that one. I'm trying to cheat the system.
No, it ain't no cheating system.
You can't. They ain't gonna let you cheat. The insurance ain't gonna let you cheat.
I
can't fake my death though.
That's like a federal crime, man.
No. We not doing
it. You're gonna end up in the
when it's hard, I heard you come up some real shit.
But when it's hard, people first stop paying their life insurance. It's the first thing they stop paying. Like, well, I don't need this insurance. You can die at any moment. You need that. You need, if anything, if nothing, my, now that's one thing that my mama did teach me. If it's nothing else get paid, I don't care if nothing else get paid in here. Our life insurance is going to be paid.
Yeah.
All the policies that we have, like, those are going to be paid. We're not skipping out on life insurance because I hate to see, because somebody is 16 that they don't have life insurance and we're doing a GoFundMe for them because they're 16. I don't care if they're 7. They need a life insurance.
And if your parents got it, it's illegal for you to not have it. If you got it, if I have, like, for example, if I have insurance on myself, I have to have at least half of my insurance policy on my children. So
okay. Your children have to
come around on your policy. My mom and them always make me come in there when the life insurance lady was over to the house, coming there signing paperwork.
Yeah,
and stuff.
You gotta, because you legally have to have life insurance on your kids.
Is it like this paperwork so you can get some more candy? It's like, ah.
So that's my number one piece of advice that I always give to people if they have any questions. Do you have any life insurance? No, okay. I don't have, but a $10,000 policy could cost you at the least $5 or $6 a month. Mm-hmm. That's not hurting you.
Now, this is another question about life insurance. If I'm on somebody's life insurance policy, right, and they die, how long do it take for me to get that money?
This nigga finna kill his mom.
No.
Trying to set some battle up.
No.
You know they do an investigation,
no,
right?
No. Listen, what I'm saying is, people die every day, you
right?
Know?
But the ruling of death is a big thing.
No, I ain't about to kill nobody because dude went to jail in Chicago for killing his mama and for the life insurance. Yes. I ain't about to do that. I'm waiting this one out. But what I'm trying to see is, if she go before me, how long do I gotta wait?
It just depends. They can investigate.
It depends on the autopsy.
So I should quit my job right then.
No.
You shouldn't quit your job at all. When you finish, you gonna pay for a funeral?
We gonna do one quick and simple.
Yeah, see, I was gonna say like about the job thing. Like I got a 401k through my job and I was just putting money through there and the company match it. But my mistake was I seen how much I could get out on the loan because I feel like I need this money. Cause like at the time when I took it out, I was thinking like, okay, I need this to get something in order to make more money and then I'd be able to pay it back. But that didn't fall through. So I ended up having to, like, I was just paying back already on the loan, but I was expecting to have it already paid off by now, but it still ain't paid off by now. And like through 401ks, a lot of people don't know is once you take that loan money out of it, you gotta, like, you can't leave your job until you pay it back. Well, if you leave your job, you have to pay the full amount.
The full amount, even the ones that they match.
Yeah, even the ones.
Hold on. So, if I take that money and then I leave, I gotta give it right back right then.
Yeah, you gotta pay.
Like pay vacation,
not only do
like
you gotta you gotta pay the money that you took out, but you gotta pay the money that they matched. Because it's based, a 401k is based off two things, stock and how long you're there as an employee.
See, that's why when you out here in the streets, you don't even get no 401k.
But if it's an investment,
you run the
tool,
risk of everything else. Your 401k is your sellers. Like, if they ain't selling, you ain't getting paid.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I'm just now kind of getting my feet wet and learning how that works, because I have, I ain't gonna say how much money I got, but I got some money that I gotta owe. And I really don't like my job, and I'm really thinking about leaving out of there in a few months. So it's like I have to save money in order to pay that back. Plus, while I got another student loan, my shit getting garnished already, because I said, fuck them, I wasn't gonna pay them back. So they garnishing that shit. And
that's another thing, too, with student loan. Like, now I just found this out. Well, I found this out, like, 2 years ago, that student loans can go, like, say if you don't pay your student loans, or you know, like how people like, well, it's just loans, I'm not gonna pay that back. I have forever to pay that back. I'm always owed
them.
You will get your Social Security check, and they will garnish your Social Security check.
They'll garnish your income tax.
Yeah, they'll get that shit too.
Like, it's all government, because if it's government based, your income tax is government based. Your Social Security is government based.
I read somebody was advising people to just pay for school on credit cards. Like,
nah.
Just
live off having bad credit for the next 7 years.
What kind of credit cards can you pay for school? Do they know how much school costs?
Who got a credit card on $30,000 limit? If you got a $30,000 limit on a credit card, you got enough money to pay
to
for
pay for school. Okay.
I just said I read that. I ain't never been to college.
Now, one thing that is good is balance transfer on credit cards. Like, yeah. For example, if you got a credit card, like let's say you got a Discovery card and you got a Visa, you use your Visa more than you use your Discovery. Like your Visa will be the card that you use a lot. But you've had your Visa for like 3 or 4 years. Discovery has a thing where they don't give you like they do interest free for like the first 2 years.
Yeah.
Interest free basically saying like whatever you pay on a credit card goes to your limit. It don't go to the company or anything like that. So you can do a balance transfer where it'll pay off all that you owe on your Visa and go straight to your Discovery. You can just pay your Discovery card without paying all that interest that your Visa would charge you. That's a smart tactic that a lot of people do.
I think, let's talk about credit cards. I've been doing a lot of reading up on it. And I think one of the things I came across was the Capital One Secured Credit Card for people to better their credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading a lot of the reviews. One person was, I think one of the biggest myths that people tell you is get you a credit card, buy something, let the interest hit, then pay it. No, it's not what you do.
No,
you know. So, and then I think when you get that security card, is they look at the how much you use. Like, if let's say they give you a $200 limit, right, and you use 100%, that'll hurt against your
credit
score.
All. Yeah, you want to stay under 30%.
Yes,
yeah.
At any card you have, you want to stay under 30% because they'll see like you're high risk if you use it. Your usage is too high.
Mm-hmm.
So like freecreditreport.com is like a real good one. Like if you got credit cards, it'll show you how much you have in debt and how much you've used of that debt.
Yeah.
So if you're a high risk, that hurts your credit a lot too.
If you have most of your credit cards have an app where
they'll
show you can download the app on your phone, you can pay your bill from, mm-hmm. your phone. It'll show you where your credit score is. It'll show you what to stimulate your credit.
Mm-hmm.
It'll show you how much you've used, how much your balance is, but make sure that you keep. And then, like, a lot of people get caught up with the minimum payment.
Mm-hmm.
If it says 25, make sure you pay more than $25 a month.
Because you're going to be doing it with paying interest.
Yeah.
You can pay for the rest of your life.
Something, pay more than the minimum payment. Because that just shows that you're responsible with your money. It shows that, if you're paying on time, they'll more than likely, especially if you're building your credit, they'll more than likely give you a higher limit.
Yeah.
Within like 6 months. It don't take long to fix your credit, or unless you have a lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
that you have just ignored and not even thought about. Unless you have, if you have fairly mild stuff on your credit, you can get good credit in a short amount of time.
I fucked up my credit, right? And I fixed it, but this is where I fucked up. I was in a relationship living with the devil, and at this point in time, I had some cards, right? But I worked and made the money, but she would personally pay it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it handicapped me, right? So mm-hmm. when she was gone,
right.
I didn't think nothing about paying bills, it's like, fuck it. So that shit hit collections on a nigga, mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's like,
you have to have your own thing. Every system does not work for everybody. My thing is I have to write everything down. I still use a check balance book. I have to have a lot of stationary stuff. Like when I'm going over my budget, or even when I'm going over a budget with a client, I always suggest to them, get you a stationary book, extra bank for, checks and balance book so that you can see. I have to write. I don't acknowledge that I've spent something unless I've wrote it down. That's just my thing. You can find your niche, and once you get in the groove of it, even if you get in a relationship, you can teach your
significant other.
Yeah, you can teach your significant other, look, this is how I pay my bills. If whatever bills you pay, if that's fine for you, but the bills that I have, this is how I pay it. And if it's not on this paper, then I ain't paid.
Yeah.
Auto pay is my thing. Like,
I can't
do it. Auto pay, it hurt, but it keep me grounded. Yeah. It humbles me. So, like,
look at that account. God.
I look, I'll be like, man. But
it got me.
Right, yeah. It come out, like I get paid, school teachers and people that work in the school system get paid twice a month. Man, they come out the day after,
mm-hmm.
every time. So it's just like, I look at it, I be like, crap.
That way, it just keep you from
right, and it, going it keeps in me, spending it keeps the, me the from, first day. Right, and it keeps me. It be I always stop before I do something. Like, wait, let me see like what I got after these bills and hit. So, mm-hmm. but every like outside of, I don't even think. Yeah, I got one bill that I actually had to physically go pay. Other than that, all of them are auto paid.
Man, look, that's the best thing about paying stuff online, cause like. I got a bad thing about crowds and shit. And
yeah, I used to be that way too. Like I physically having to go pay something, man, I never got done. Sprint was hard.
That shit is the worst. Yeah. Now Sprint back in the day, listen. When I turned 18, I went and got me a Sprint phone, right? And then I figured something out. I started getting over on the ass. Only thing you had to pay to keep your phone bill, to keep your phone on, was $30. Yeah. I was paying that $30 a month. Every real there you go.
And it's building up.
Yeah. My phone never got cut off, though.
I mean, same thing, MSGNW. You only got to keep it under $200.
Yeah.
Keep your bill under $200 and it'll stay on.
We just telling you where I go.
I'm just saying, that's a tough mindset. But, I mean, I'm just saying, that's real.
And that's the mindset that we use to, like, that's the survival mindset. Yeah. What we got to pay to keep it on.
Yeah.
What we got to pay to keep it on. We don't want to pay it off. We don't want to pay it down. Like, what do we got to pay to
really,
keep it
that, on? Really? Sometimes it ain't even survival mindset. It's just like, okay, I need to go get this cush.
It is. But if you have if you know you have the money to pay it, you like, look, I'm going to just pay the minimum, whatever it has, you know. I'm going to use this money to go buy me an outfit or something.
And that's another thing. Why MLGW don't report to the credit bureau?
They do if you owe them.
But see, that's the fucked up part about it.
I mean, but if you
that's the only legal monopoly that I can think of. Like, that's literally the only legal monopoly that I can think of out, period. Like, you know that you cannot get any other type of utilities or energy.
And for our listeners not in Memphis, MLGW is like the only people that we can go through to get
that electricity. That is the only place. Like, like we got what, 3 counties wide?
Yeah, like that's the only place you can get electricity from. Get
energy,
and it's supposed to stand for Memphis Light, Gas, and Water, but we call it man. Let me get your wallet. That's really
Memphis Light, Gas, and Robbery.
That's really what they fucking do. Hey man, let me get your wallet. Like every month,
they do.
So with credit cards, you gotta say stay under 30% on every credit card. So basically, I need like me a credit card like a $10,000 limit. So my 30% will be like 3 stacks.
You'll see $10,000. You'll be like, go ahead and spend about 5.
No, I'm gonna spend 3. You know, I don't have very expensive taste. You know,
you will say when you get a $10,000 limit.
Yeah,
that's
your taste will change. The TV I want ain't number 700.
That's the thing I was gonna say. Like, man, when people start seeing like high limits, they start thinking in their mind, free we money. Made it. Yeah, like now I can start doing this extravagant shit. Now that I got this money, now that I got this limit.
I ain't gonna go get but, no four.
You still like, man, when I first got my job and I was seeing them checks come in, like I started like thinking like all the stupid shit I'm gonna do.
Right, you like, already had your chick planned.
Yeah, like I'm finna go do some stupid shit with this.
I think that's the worst thing, you know, because we spend our money before we get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We started thinking of all the shit we gonna buy, especially around the holidays.
But that's hard though. When you ain't never had shit, it's hard not to do that.
That's the thing. It's a mindset. Like what. And I gave a client this advice because she felt like I work hard. I barely get to buy myself something. Okay, this is what you do. You create your budget around you buying yourself something small every time you get some, like every time you get a, I don't care if you have to go to Victoria's Secret and get you just one or two pair of panties or something like that. Just get you something small so that when you get a big lump sum, you don't blow it all. You just have to learn how to treat yourself in small increments, and then it'll, you know, you'll start to accumulate. This guy walked in. I work for an institution now. Millionaire. Now, that's just at our institution what he has, because he can only have this amount. So I'm knowing that he has more somewhere else.
Was Yo Gotti?
Would not. No. Man, not flashy at all. You would not. The lady that helped him was like, did you know he have $1 million in here? I'm like, no, raggedy. I'm talking about driving a Yaris. Come down. That's how you keep your money, to not let people know that you got it. You keeping your money because if people know that you got money,
I mean,
they gonna come to you. You gonna ask be for it. Out in mm-hmm. the front.
I mean, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
I wish I could be that great of a person.
Like, it's like my grandmother. Like, I remember my grandmother giving me that lesson when I was in high school. The neurosurgeon, when she worked at the Med, I used to come up there and see her from time to time. And she was like, that guy makes, like, he was making it like $750,000 a year. And she was like, look, now watch him get to his car. Mm-hmm. And he drove like a 92 Saturn.
And probably bring his lunch to work every day. Right, probably yeah, like, go spend yeah. his money on fast food. He
like,
keeps
I mean,
money.
It was just like that's just what he made there. But he had his own like private practice and other stuff. So it's like, man, if that's your salary at the Med, at General Hospital, I can't imagine, you know, what you getting as an artist, as an author, yeah. and as other publishers.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I just checked our email and a email just came through. Right, so we got to read this. We gotta read this letter. I don't even know what it's about, but it just ain't good. Yeah. The title of the letter is Bored, right? 28-year-old male from Atlanta, Georgia. I like my friend. Me and her been going back and forth for a couple of years about dating. We've been out a couple times, but honestly, I'm not the going out type like that. I do it, but not like that. And I recently asked her to spend the night this upcoming weekend, and she said no. Because that's all I can offer her is spend the night. I asked her the other day, is that all it takes for her to come spend the night? Is to take her out and she will spend the night. But my thing is, I've been there for her through everything. And I've been a great friend. And granted, I don't go out much. But for her, I think of something. So I'll take advice.
She don't like
so
him.
So basically, he just wants us to help him get her to spend the night.
She don't like him though.
He feels
because
entitled.
If they've been talking about relationship or whatever, and she knows that, you know, they've been friends for years, and she knows that he don't really like to go out, or she's never went out with him, and he, you know, asked her to spend the night or something, then she really don't look at him like that. Like,
man.
Like, you good for advice, but like, I ain't gonna come.
Look, man, you gotta take control in a relationship, man. Don't let her friends on you like that, dog. You let her know, look, this is what it's gonna be. Either we gonna be together or I'm gone. Don't call me for shit else. And then you take control, because what it seemed like, if she friends on you, but you ain't friends on her, then see, right. You got, when you friends on her, you can get a lot more out of her. She'll be willing to spend the night because that's your best friend. That's what friends do. But when she friends on you, she can't call you for shit. But advice, like if you want to go out to eat or something, like if she having problems with another nigga, she going to get your perspective on it. Nah, you got to take control of y'all relationship, man. But it seems like it's got too far out of hand if y'all been off and on for the past 4 years. So you might want to just leave that alone.
Yeah, man. You can't be entitled at that point.
It sounds like you're entitled. Like he said, I've been a good friend, so it's like she should spend the night. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like
entitlement is tough, man. Like that's a big thing. That's a big issue of mine. Is like when people just like,
I've done this for you,
right?
You
right? Like I'm entitled to you doing this, and like the high sense of entitlement people have. It's like you're gonna value me even when I don't necessarily care how you feel, type thing. Like.
So he's basically just been her friend because he knew that he liked her, and he knew that one night.
Right. It's like it's an ulterior motive.
Yeah, he feel like she owe him pussy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Kanye said he feel like it's still women that owe him sex, and I get it. I understand because I mean, if you there for a person through thick and thin, man, and you putting yourself on the line. And they not there for you when you need something.
Look at these key words.
I would feel a little bit put off by that because like I've been in a situation where like a chick I was talking to, like I liked her but I didn't let her know that. But like I was real cool with her. I was always there. Like anytime she called me for something, like if she wanted to go out to eat or like if she asked me, you know, for advice or something, like I was there. I was a listener doing all that thing. But when I needed something. I was like, hey.
What was it you needed today?
Hey, man, stay at my first date. We're not going to get into specifics. But all I'm saying is when I needed something and I called and I asked her for it, she's like, no. I'm like, bitch, What? Hold on. How you gonna tell me no?
See, this is why I don't play that game. Like, I don't play that game. Because, like, if you leave people on to think that, you know, you kind of feeling them a little bit, and then you can, you know, we can go out, you can give me advice and stuff like that, and then when they actually ask you for what they want and you don't give it to them, that's how people get killed. I don't play that. I don't play that game. We got to know our motives on the top.
Yeah, that's why I don't. That's why I don't put all my eggs in one basket no more. Cause like I knew.
Oh my lord.
That's why.
Figuratively.
You can't put all your eggs. You gotta spread them out. Cause if one don't work, then you gotta go to the next one. Gotta have something else in line. Got to.
This guy hurts. Okay. All I got to say for you is like you might well just cut your losses. You can't force her to spend the night. Just because you were a great friend doesn't mean she should spend the night. You know what I'm saying? Like, just
but
take it
in stride. But what will get her to spend the night is if he gets somebody else to spend the night. Then she'll be like, ooh.
I hate women, man.
I respect the honesty, though.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. but that's what it is.
Go be happy with somebody else.
Like, she'll turn him up a little bit. Let me see what he talk.
Women got a real competitive
you and your girlfriend
lifestyle.
Having fun, man.
Right. That'll be the next text. I see you. What's going on?
I saw your little cute friend.
Y'all cute or whatever.
Now, right.
Who is this? Really, she's like, who that bitch?
Yeah.
Well, no. So yeah, but I respect the honesty. But I just really think like, just take bow out gracefully, man. Take it as a loss and move on.
I think it's hard that I wouldn't have an expectation if I was him. Like, I just don't have an expectation. Yeah. Like, just be a friend. Be a friend. If you throw the thing in your lap, catch it.
But at that point,
they can't be friends. Like, if he want her to spend the night, like, how can they go back to being regular? Like,
I mean,
you just got to learn how to turn that switch.
And don't get me wrong. I dated this one girl, right?
You like somebody.
And it was so awkward on how she operated. She would literally lay in my bed and sleep until like 3 a.m. and then be like, I'm going home because I don't believe in spending the night.
I ain't gonna say what I was about to say, but
if
I was a guy, I'd be like, no, you lay your ass back
so
right there.
One night I asked her, I said, hey,
what?
Just stay the whole night. And when I said,
no, nope. The whole night. 3 o'clock?
Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's them things that, again,
women are confusing. Like, it's just. Whatever it is in their mind,
it, was really
it just
weird.
Gotta be that. It's just like, I don't believe spending the night.
What?
Like, one minute's the next day. Like,
I
know the sun ain't out, but whatever psychological mindset you doing right now.
Yeah, but when I asked her, I was like, you know, stay the whole entire night type thing. And she told me no. We ain't talk no more after that. I was just like, that shit just don't make sense to me. Like, this retarded.
No, that ain't.
So yeah, that letter came through like right as we were recording, so you barely made the show. But barely. Thank you for sending a letter. Hopefully more people send a letter. If you don't know where to send a letter to, send it to Real Thinkers POD. No, realthinkerspodcast@gmail.com. Damn, we ain't shouted out the email in a while. I forgot what it was. Anything anybody wanted to add?
Shit. Please. We have, like, as far as, y'all know we talked about, like, saving money and, like, budgeting and all that. We really have to get into a pattern of saving, and we have to unplug from this consumer mentality where we feel like we have to buy more things in order to feel better about ourselves. Our self-worth is not tied to material things, and that's where a lot of our people go wrong. We have to unplug from that and like retrain, like even if like ask questions. If you don't, it's okay if you don't know, and it's okay because that's what people are there for, to teach you about stuff like that. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to be dumb financially because they'll get you in the right spot. They'll, you know, ease you along. It's never too late to learn about stuff like this because debt is going to be around whether you're 18 or you're 58. You know, it's going to be around. So anybody that's listening to this show, if you take away from this, like, get educated in finances, please, because we are very, very financially illiterate and it handicaps us in so many other areas. Shit, I think that's all I got. Anybody else?
Hey, last thing. If anybody got any babies they want to sell for this upcoming tax season.
All right. yeah, so be mindful. Like, ignorance is a lack, just a lack of knowledge, man. Nobody can hurt you, harm you, or just fault you for not knowing something, because we all are ignorant to something. Stupidity is a choice. Mm-hmm. You choose to be stupid. You know something and you still do it. A lot of people are caught into this mindset that materials define you, like they were saying, and now we're in this mindset, like, if you just go through like Instagram and Facebook and like they gotta have all this money and show what they're doing and prove these points. Like, I always try to ask people, why do they do what they do? And they never give me a legitimate answer. So just be mindful of that, man. And I'm starting to gain more and more understanding of myself, like, as I get older, just to say, man, let me just step back and just do what I want to do, as far as like put money into things that I love long term, and not this short term, you know. And like I said, because I came from nothing, so, and I understood growing up, man, when you start getting a little change in your pocket, you want to get stuff that shine and get some a little attention, and you know, you start to see, like, it make you feel a little big about yourself, a little confident, but then it starts to just drift away, and then you just gotta, you get into a cycle where you just gotta buy to keep that high. It's just like a drug. So just take it away and have that discipline to just focus on what's long term.
The only thing that I would say is being consistent. If you know that you have a goal, that's any goal. If you know you have a goal that you need to reach with saving, if you know that you have a goal that you need to reach with building your credit or making a major purchase, just be consistent. It don't matter, because people are going to try to talk you out of it. They don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. Make sure that you are focused and be consistent. Don't use your family as an excuse. Don't use your circumstances as an excuse. Just be consistent with becoming more financial literate or saving or investing. Learn more. I don't care what your craft is. You can be a singer. Run up and down the hallway singing. Like, just be consistent with whatever you do. That's gonna get you where you need to be.
All right. Also, the next live podcast will be November 19th. That's the date.
Okay. Where can other people reach Mercedes? Like, because if anybody needs to get any advice from you.
Okay. My business Instagram page is life_financial_consulting. You all can email us questions or inquire about our services at lifeinstitute15@gmail.com. And our website is www.lfinstitute.com, and we're accepting new clients. So
we really thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, we needed that, man. Yeah. Shit.
Great show. It's Real Thinkers Podcast. This is Real Thinker Podcast.
It's been a while for that one.
This is Real Thinker Podcast. The Real Thinker Podcast. What you don't know. Okay.